What's up, y'all? This is Mojo.
And that's Jessica.
And this is Container Life with Mojo and Jessica, where the sky is not the limit, and we're creating Black success from inside the box using shipping containers. Today, we have a new episode. Welcome back. And I think we got really familiar with sixes and six parts and six components. And so this week we're back with another six. So the four letter word of the week is team. And the team that we're picking is
our container click.
How to vet your container click, the people that will be working on your project. That's the topic for today. And so we're probably going to get through the first three parts of that vetting process this week. And then y'all know y'all got to come back and hang out with us again next week. And we'll pick it up again. So, Jess, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Can you just tell the people how important it is to pick the right team?
Your team is going to be the either make or break your company. So if you don't have a solid team, you don't have a camaraderie with the people you work with, if they don't trust you, if they don't like you, ooh-wee, that's a whole nother situation. That can turn ugly and it turns over into customers. And so we don't want that. So today our goal is to help you identify six steps that you can take to choose and vet your teammates. So remember, if you're about the container life, so should the people that you're joining on your team. So keep that in mind. So step one. So remember, four letter word, guys, four letter word is list. So step one is make a list of who you need. So a part of the master classes that we hold, we actually encourage everybody to at some point in time branch off from us and actually go on ahead and create their own teams. And so a part of that process is important because, one, you're not dependent upon our people. What if, you know, somebody on our team quits or passes away or gets sick? Then you're now stuck with not having that particular component fulfilled. And so what we encourage you guys to do is to go on ahead as a developer doing these type of projects is to create a list of people who you can have on your team that can help and assist you in your projects. So of course, you know, that's something that has to happen over time. You know, it's not something that can happen right away. But what I can say is you definitely should think about it, because what if you don't get along with somebody that's on our team? You know, now you're stuck working with somebody you don't like and that you don't respect or trust. So we don't want those type of situations. So this is pretty much our way for Mojo and I to teach you guys how to be proactive in identifying your, I would say, opportunities for growth. As a developer, it's really important to have people on your team that have your back and that you can work alongside with harmoniously. So this is very, very important. So this is the make or break type steps that I hope you guys are making and taking notes on, because again, if we are no longer around, what you want to do? You know, how do you feel about right. that, Joe?
And it's also I appreciate that you coming from the developer side. It's also important for our homeowners as well, because it might be a situation where they might not want to work with a person that's a part of our team. For whatever reason, something might happen. They might have been dating back in the day, and we don't know. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't want him designing my bathroom. No, no, ma'am. I do not want him designing my bathroom. So you will want to have somebody else that they could pick, or and they can understand what it takes to add that other component to their team that's going to build their house. So yeah, it's very important to make a list to understand everybody that you need on the team, and then that's the beginning of the vetting process, knowing who you need, and then we can move forward from there.
Definitely, knowing is going to kind of lead to this next part. So step two is once you make your list, I would say within that list, make a list of about 2 to 3 people per profession. So don't just go with the first person you meet. I'll give you an example on why, in some ways, it's not always good to use the people of the company that you're contracting. And you can take this with a grain of salt, of course, because I'm just telling what I experienced. So the very first house that I bought, I was so proud of myself. I was truly a Delton at this time. I didn't ask nobody for help. I thought, you know, I found a realtor, then I let the realtor recommend me to the home inspector, then the realtor, you know, refer me to the appraiser and all of that, mortgage company, everything. How easy that process had went, right?
Right.
Wrong. So what ended up happening is I was a victim of appraisal fraud, home inspection fraud, and mortgage fraud, all because of me allowing that realtor to recommend me to all these people. So my point in saying that is, don't be lazy minded, because that's what it is. I didn't want to have to go look for these people myself and do what I'm teaching you guys today. It cost me a lot of money, $200,000, in fact. So think about it from a perspective of, do you want to make, you know, certain mistakes in your build out that does not benefit you long term? Or do you want to be a wise investor, homeowner, and really take ownership over the process?
So is that part of step one, or that's step two?
That's actually part of step two. So the reason why I gave the story is because I went with the very first person that they recommended to me. I never said, well, do you have any other recommendations? No, I said, oh, okay, great. You know somebody? Awesome. You know, being just young and foolish. And so that's why I said choose 2 to 3 people. And the 4-letter word for that is pick. So you want to pick out of that list of 2 to 3 people who then are your top contenders. And then as we move into number 3, even though we got here kind of quick, we can stay on it for a little while.
Oh, would you wait? Give me a second. When you do the pick, I want to just make a point to say, even if you pick your top contender, save the information of the other people and keep it, like, don't burn that bridge. Mm-hmm. Keep it amicable, because there has been real estate scams. There has been a lot of, your number one pick might be a scammer. Your number one pick might run off with your money. Like, they could check all the boxes and everything look like it's all good, and then it turned out to be a bust. But you still have those other resources available to go to if something was to happen with your first pick.
And that's a great point. I actually have a client right now that asked us to take on a project because the electrical engineer, plumbing, that's all that, they put an okie doke on them. Like, they paid all this money to get these stuff done. And then when it was time for them to get permits, there were certain things that were required from both the architect and the MEP. And the MEP said, oh, y'all didn't pay me for that. Really?
Oh, wow.
And now I don't know if they have it in writing. And honestly, I don't think at this point in time, I always say some fights aren't worth fighting. But from my perspective, I'm just sharing with you guys that they actually did exactly. They're now on me as a second contender, because the first contender pretty much took their money and didn't help them. So keep that in mind. That's a good point.
Right. Just keep more than one resource for each type of person that you need, so that in the event you need, say you blow up as a developer and you got more than one project going on at the same time.
Yeah.
You might need a plumber over here and a plumber over there at the same dang time. And so keep a list and pick your first one, but keep an additional list of contenders for each position.
And to go a little bit deeper in that too, that's how our company expanded. We actually started with a small team that was local to one area. And then as our projects expanded, we try to hire locally to stimulate the local economy. So we don't bring you know, teams from other states into new states. We actually try to find people there locally. And that's how we were able to scale our business, by locally finding teams of people, crews of people who could assist us on projects. One big thing, as a developer, builder, I guess we got both of those, we all got the same title, is that you have to keep in mind that you are going to grow. And unfortunately, you have, and I'm not even trying to be negative, but you have people on your team that think they can do it better than you. They will become a competitor. So now you have to worry about replacing them. So, you know, just to cover all bases, whether it's, you know, a negative thing like somebody leaving or a scammer or any of that, these things can happen. So that's why we're having a conversation. Mojo and I, we do not lie to y'all. So we're trying to give you a heads up that these things can happen and you have to be ready. And so with that being said, keep that in mind, that if you have a backup plan and then if you actually want to scale, create those relationships across the different areas or like locales you want to scale to, and make sure that you're able to find people who can help you with that.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. And the next four letter word is step three.
Step three is show. So show means you want to, now that you have your top 2 to 3 contenders and you made an awesome list to find you these top 2 or 3 contenders, you now can ask them for an interview and also go over photos or portfolio of their work. So a couple things from the interview perspective. Interview them as if they're not, as if they're just regular people. You know, if you don't know what kind of questions to ask, you literally can go online and they got loads and loads of questions. Just type in human resource interview questions and they will come up. You know, they got YouTube videos and everything on that stuff. So I would say, as if you're growing your company and if this is your first developer project or this is the first time you ever done anything like this, don't take this part lightly, because as you grow your business, you may need an assistance. You know, you may need all kinds of people. Who knows who you have to hire? But if you don't know what to ask them, you don't know how to get certain questions out. And what I will say is, don't ask the typical questions like, so what makes you a good candidate? Or what
are some of your weaknesses?
Yes.
Or what do you think is your biggest weakness?
Yeah.
Come on, son. Y'all still asking that question?
Yeah, we're in 2021. You need to ask some specific questions that they said they specialize in. So if you're talking to an engineer that says they've done structural stuff, ask them what's the typical weight load of a roof. You know, you go deep like that. So that's how you know if a person actually knows what they really know, because they right. would be able to answer technical questions. Now, you may not know what those technical questions would be. Again, Google is your friend. So it even has the answers to those questions. Don't worry.
Right.
Yeah. So if you don't know the answer, Google knows the answer. Go ahead on Google and knock that out. So I would just say the point in the interview side is to be creative with your questioning, so you're really getting to know that person. Don't ask the typical boring HR questions, because of course, if you give anybody the opportunity to talk about themselves, they're going to talk about themselves to the end of time. Oh, I'm so great because of X, Y, Z. And then when you get to the weaknesses, they'll say, you know, I don't think I got any weaknesses. Like literally, that's how people treat themselves. Oh, it's not wrong with me. I'm great. You know, so right. Those type of questions, you know, you want to get down to nitty gritty. Like I had an assistant that I didn't even know. She didn't know how to use a computer, but she get on that phone, her fingers, but she'd be like that. And then she got on a computer, y'all, and did not know how to use that computer.
Wow.
That's
what these kids are mobile, ridiculously.
Yeah. So that's the point that I'm trying to make. I'm sure I beat that with a very dead horse, but I will say that interviewing is the most important part. You have to really get down and understand that person. I will ask, what's their passion? What are their future goals? Where do they see themselves in 3 to 5 years? So don't ask about how do they fit into their company. You want to get to know that person. I'm very big on character. I'm not so impressed by people and what they said they can do. I'm really about hearing how you talk about yourself, how you envision yourself, and how you see yourself in the future. That to me is important. And those are the type of questions that I ask during my interview. Even my military folks, don't nobody get no passes. So why'd you join the military? And why are you trying to leave the military? And why do you want to get into this field? And, you know, I ask them hard questions too, because they're so trained a certain way as well.
Yeah, I like the, tell me a time when your boss gave you a big project that was a big problem and you solved it. How did you solve it, and how did it turn out? I love answering them questions because that just gave me the chance to talk about me. And I can always think of when all the freaking scanners went down in the airport at the same time, and I had two different gates on the phone at the same time while I'm live talking to, I'm at a gate fixing the scanner, and got the intern, the new dude, started day one. He's shadowing me. I know he looking like, this what my job gonna be?
He probably quit the same day.
Look, he was looking like, is it always like that? I was like, no. Like, literally all the scanners on one concourse. You know, the Atlanta airport is huge.
Yeah.
And so all the scanners were going down on one concourse all at the same time. So I'm on a, because you know, I got to walk them through resetting it, but I'm at one resetting it. And because I'm a technical trainer, I'm in teacher mode. So I got the agent standing here like, look, this is what you got to do. Because if something you see is going crazy everywhere. If something happened, you got to be able to repeat these steps to get it back up running while I go down to gate 12 and gate 13. And I got somebody on the phone and I'm like, are you listening? Because I'm going through all of the steps. So you can do the same thing while I'm on the phone, or you can wait till I get there. What you want to do? And the new dude was standing there like, oh my goodness. But that gives you a glimpse into the character of a person. Like, a problem happened. How did you fix it? How did you fix it? How did you jump into action and get your mojo together and get it done? And I got a million of them stories all the time. I love for somebody to ask me stuff like that. I'll be like, okay, I got that one.
Look,
ask me about the weaknesses.
Yes. Well, I do ask that. I do ask it in a different way. For instance, I always ask, what makes you special, or what makes you tick? Like, what are the things that if you could do it all day, every day, that you would do it? You know, that's that. I just ask it differently than that traditional question, because when you ask the way I ask, kind of throws that person off. So they can't right away think of like that scenario that you just mentioned, but it also kind of helps them to say, well, I'm good at this and I'm good at that. I want people, the people that I'm around are very articulate. They really, really know how to talk. So those who don't know how to communicate cannot be on my team, because sometimes I'm not speaking in code, but I may not be fully explaining something. But interestingly, everybody on my team is able to just pick it up, you know, right away. So needless to say, your team, if you all are in sync with each other, which is based off of how you're interviewing them, you'll be able to see their character. And then, of course, choosing the right type of people to even interview, and then just making a good list. All of those things together will allow for you to do some really powerful things within your business.
Yeah, and it also lets you see how they're going to work in with the team that you have. Mm-hmm. Like, you know the people that you already have. Like you said, you know everybody around you is really articulate, and you got to be able to be on your team. So if this person is like, you know, I don't really talk that much because, oh, really? Oh, okay. Look, let me take a note right here.
Definitely can't have me and Mojo, we laugh, we talk, we loud.
Right.
A meek person would not enjoy our company. That's all I can say. You know,
people be like, you from New York, right? Yes. And what's your point?
Yeah, for sure. They are. They're trying to get at something, but tell them you don't receive that negativity.
Right. I say that's a look. I'll be like that. And that's a plus for you.
Yeah. Yes.
I've met people that said, like, we want people that's from New York because they real straightforward and to the point. What you trying to say? I'm rude? Because y'all always saying that New Yorkers is rude. No, I said you real straightforward and to the point. Yeah, whatever. But in, like, in customer service roles, sometimes, yeah, like, you can't be a wussy,
yeah,
in that space, yeah, because you got to be able to hold your position, but you also got to be able to maintain your professionalism, mm-hmm, but get through and solve the problem. And sometimes those meek people, they can't really handle, you know, Helen, who ain't get her refrigerator, and she don't understand because she ordered it 3 weeks ago, like we ain't in a pandemic. But Helen going off the rails because her last refrigerator broke and her meat is in the freezer. And Helen, I sent it, boo. You're gonna be all right. I can't go past. It was shipped on this day. Now, you want to call the post office? We could call the post office because they would know.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, you got to be able to hold your own and maintain your professionalism at the same time. People used to be, because I used to run call centers. People be screaming and yelling. I just put the phone down on the table like, I can't even hear you if you screaming, sir. Like, we're not going to get nothing done if you yelling. And if you keep yelling, I'm just going to put the phone down so that it's not in my ear till you finish. And then I come back like, we ready to talk about it right now?
Because I was going to say, and even from a perspective of being on a team, your people need to be able to pick up on your energy. So if you're having, you know, one of those type of calls, you will hope that somebody on your team is either going to save you or do something, like throw your life raft, you know,
right,
anything, you know?
Because you know when people think they speaking to the manager, they act different. Jess, you need me to get that? Yeah? All right, I'll be over there in a second. How you doing? This is the floor manager. How may I help you? Ain't managing nothing.
Yeah.
Well, but you got a command of the English language, and you know how to de-escalate, and you know how to do all of that stuff, and you get it done. That's just the way it is.
For sure. I agree. So I'll recap what we talked about. Hold on a quick second. So step one, make a list of who you need for a letter word list.
Right.
Pick 2-3 contenders for each profession, 4-letter word pick, and right, interview an ex for photos of their work. 4-letter word is show. So yep, list, pick, and show.
Yes, that's the first 3 steps. That's what's up. Yo, I'm telling you, my 4-letter word formula makes things a whole lot easier. You might have to take a minute to be like, what's a 4-letter word I can use right here? But once you start getting the hang of it, you be like, oh, okay, yeah. It's thousands and thousands of 4-letter words. Trust me. I know, because I've been doing it for years.
I know, that's right. Yeah.
I'm like, that works. That works for us. So we're going to every week have 6 points, 6 things, 6 steps, 6 something. And, oh, well, we're going to have 6, and it's probably running to 2 shows if we do 3 each for each show, because the shows are 30 minutes. But it gives people the opportunity to, and maybe we'll start to give the list in the beginning, so, you know, they get a little, the anticipation about, yeah, okay, those are the 6 words, right? And then they thinking about it like, what? Huh? What they talking about? And then you get the first 3, and then you get the second 3 next week.
Awesome. Sound good to me. So do you want me to recap for next week, or we're going to wait till next week?
You could just give them a summary.
I'm just going to give y'all the words. How about that?
Okay.
So we have 3 additional steps. The first one, the second one is meet. So think about that. What does meet mean to you? And then the third one is work. So we're working on the first one. We're going to come up with a really awesome 4-letter word for what step 4 is. And then we'll get back to you guys, and we'll present it all on the next show. We appreciate you. for listening and watching.
Yes, y'all, another show in the books. And I'm excited about our four-letter word format. Because we cussing people out the right way with That's the four-letter right. words on the container life. Yeah. So once we get through, we'll go through those next three steps next week. And, of course, we'll have people live so that they can ask questions. And we'll have, and we always give users the opportunity to post questions on our pages. So yep. that if there's something that they want us to answer during a show, we can. So we're going to have a specific user question segment so that we could answer a user question from the week prior or from during the week that people ask questions. This week, somebody asked about the ability to franchise. And we do have that opportunity because once you take the master class, then you have the opportunity to become a franchise of one of our companies, which is so dope. Yes. Like if you think about a lot of times from the homeowner perspective, you think about just one container, but especially if you're doing accessory dwelling units, like you're putting an Airbnb on your property that's already there. Once you do one, you're going to be ready to go. Like, Mojo, Jess, I need another one. This one is popping, and I need another one. And you might want to franchise and create your own business out of this because, trust me, it's enough money out here for all of us.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to get the masterclass from us to be able to do it the best way possible. And then we just go from there. So, yeah, any last words, Jess?
One last word. Y'all know we're always here to help you guys. So definitely go to the site, shippingliving.com. Definitely go to blackboxqueens.com. Mojo, can you mention the site that you talked about earlier with the new floor plans and designs that you were talking about? You said you came out with another ebook.
Oh, that's, yeah, I got to get that. That's a book. I got to put them up on the site. Oh, Lord, it's so many plans. But we have a whole bunch of new floor plans available for you. You know, we have shippingcontainermojo.com where you can get the four volume set that has the book if you want to build your own container. And it has designs and plans and all of that stuff. So that's always available to you as well. But I have a new resource that has given us a good, at least a minimum of 100 new plants. Floor plans, everything from one container floor plans to five container floor plans and everything in between. So I'm going to be posting those on my website. I might just make a page with just plans. That might make it easier. Be like pickyourbox.com or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we just go from there.
Awesome. I'm adding that to our Facebook page. Our live for today, for last week, if you go there, that same thing we listed, so you guys can see that. So shippingcontainermojo.com, blackboxqueens.com, definitely check us out. Definitely reach out to us for consultations so we can help y'all with your projects.
And on that note, guys, as we always tell you, we totally enjoy this exchange. And we will be back again, most likely the same bad time and the same bad channel because we're working through some production things and to just bring you a bigger and better show. And so we'll be back next week and just not sure which day. So make sure you're following us. Instagram, my Instagram is Mojo Knows with a Z. Jessica is Shipping Living.
Yes.
Right? Follow both of those pages on Instagram. You can Mobile Enterprises on Facebook and Black Box Queens on Facebook for me. And you'll be able to find us and ask us any questions and see the updates of what we're doing. And on that note, we're going to bid you a farewell, but I need y'all to always remember, if it ain't a container, you ain't about that life.
Nope. Love y'all. Peace and blessings.
Love y'all. Peace.